Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Confirmation now in the last couple of minutes that Ireland coach Andy Farrell has been named as the coach of the British and Irish Lions for their tour of Australia in 2025. And we were talking to Murray Kinsella about that a little earlier on. Now, the businessman Pascal Taggart has come up with a novel and fairly controversial proposal to provide housing for frontline workers by building on some of Dublin's best known parkland, including the Phoenix Park. And he has circulated his policy, his proposal to policy makers. It outlines how putting apartments on 10% of the city's state-owned green space could provide accommodation, he says, for up to 80,000 nurses, teachers and Gardaí over the next 12 years. And Pascal Taggart is here in the studio with me this morning. You're very welcome. So why and how did you come up with this idea?
I came up with it because I'm observing crisis every time I look around me. In other words, I know teachers are not available in Dublin. I know nurses are certainly not available. I was chairman of Sandry Sports Clinic. Every board meeting we started with, what's the nurse's position? Unbelievable. And then obviously Gardaí are leaving the forces more than people joining. So that was the problem. And I came up with this solution. And by the way, if there's a better solution, I'm all for it. I would love this man here to give us a solution.
Well, we have Michael Pidgeon beside you, Green Party councillor with Dublin City Council, and we'll be hearing from Michael in just a moment. But tell me about the political reaction you've had to the proposal, Pascal.
I want to invite Michael to talk, because Michael, I'm delighted he's here.
Yeah.
He's representing the Greens and the government. I'm here for a solution. If he's a better solution, which doesn't involve parks, we are thrilled, delighted.
So you're saying to Michael, there is no other option here.
Correct.
As far as you're concerned.
And Michael's CV is more than impressive. Will you hear this? Press officer with my old adversary, Lord Mayor of Dublin.
You're spoiling me here now. This is
Sadiq Khan, yeah. That's a story for another day. Digital campaigner, European Greens. English teacher. Head of communities of the Irish Nurses and Midwives Association. Shop worker for Spar for over 4 years, which I'm very familiar with, as you probably know. Currently full-time councillor and leader of the Green Party group on Dublin County Council. Now, the reason I'm listing his experience is that he's clearly an expert on nurses and teachers. That's two of the three legs we want to solve. So hopefully he can explain to us that he's got a better solution and that I can get back to playing golf.
Come on, you put your question, you read out his CV. So Michael, what do you think of this plan to build on 10% of our parkland?
I think it's a misdiagnosis of what we need. So land at the moment isn't, I don't think, the driving problem in building enough homes to end the housing crisis. So if you look at the Society of Chartered Surveyors, they did a report looking at the costs of what it costs to deliver an apartment in Ireland. They found that land costs were about 10-11% of the overall cost. If you look at what we've zoned in Dublin City Council, we've zoned enough land for 70,000 new homes in the next 4 years. We're not going to be able to build that many at the current rate. So I don't think it's always good to get development land. It's always good to get cheap development land. But I think this is probably the very hardest kind of land you could build on, because it's not physically serviced already with, you know, water and electricity. But also there's a huge political pushback that I think you've probably seen yourself trying to build on parkland. And to me, it feels like it's like if you're in the supermarket and you're going to pay and you choose the longest line to go to at the checkouts, yeah, because it's the hardest land to build
when
on.
When I saw your proposal, I wondered about that, because we do have the sites. Like, the land isn't the problem. As Michael has outlined, there's enough space there for 70,000 apartments. It's getting them built, isn't it, that's the problem?
No, it's not. Look, at some stage, I'd like Michael to explain to the listeners what housing affordability is and how Dublin is now top of the world in the affordability league. Yes, we're number one in the world. And that's for the last five. We're number one in the world in affordability. Most people won't understand it. Michael understands it. If you just give us an answer to that, and why what affordability is, and why we're top of the league and top of the world.
Sure, I think affordability for most people, if you're renting or a mortgage payment, would be paying hopefully substantially less than a third of your income. On housing costs. That to me would be affordability. The way you get there is by building a lot of homes. The shortage we have at the moment is in building capacity in terms of labour, financing, planning decisions, that sort of thing. Land is part of it, but I don't think it's a big bit. And I think you're going after the hardest possible land. So you'd put all these resources into trying to get a tiny bit of parkland. I suspect you wouldn't get any houses at the end. I think it's well-intentioned, but I think you just end up with a lot of debate headlines, but perhaps not many homes.
Pascal, a lot of people are texting us here to say that they're really not in favour of touching our beautiful parks. And one person suggests building on the dozens or so golf courses within the M50 instead of public parkland.
Yeah. I'm not agreeing with that. What Michael hasn't said is, why are we top of the affordability league, at number one in the world? Why?
I think for a very simple reason, that we essentially stopped building homes at the crash. If you go back to 2012, we built less than 5,000 homes in the country. In 2022, we built nearly 30,000. So we basically stopped building homes at the end of the Celtic Tiger because the construction industry collapsed. And as a result, our population has continued to grow and we just haven't kept up. So for me, it's well-intentioned, but it's a bit of a distraction to say, oh, let's take a bit of a park and let's do that. Land isn't the issue. The issue is building capacity. Physical builders, the financing to do it, the materials to do it, and the planning permission.
Can you address that, Pascal, that land isn't the issue here?
Of course. He's absolutely wrong. Location and located land is the problem. Look, we've had the housing policy for the last 10 years, particularly the last 5 years. We haven't got the houses. The problem is, where's our teachers going? Where's our nurses going? Where's our Gardaí, the Gardaí, they have to commute 2-3 hours a day. They've got to come into Dublin, where else most of the problems are. They've got to deal with gangland murders, domestic murders. They're getting out because they can't afford it. I spoke to a person down in Laois. His daughter was getting engaged to a guard, and the greatest threat he had was they didn't. If he sent to Dublin, he was resigning, and they're all resigning. So I mean, we have to get these very, very valuable people into work. And they can't work in Port Laois and drive in. They can't have commute times. And our solution is actually perfect. And their solution doesn't work because they're slowly, slowly, slowly getting houses. And the problem with that is, and I don't disagree with this, by the way, social housing, affordable housing, refugee housing, they all come before these very, very vital workers, which is teachers. And I'm sure you know teachers abroad. They'd love to come back. Their parents would love them to come
Affordable
back.
Affordable housing, though, is for people on the incomes that you're discussing.
Yeah, but they're going to be last on the list. There's going to be a waiting list. And if you take an unmarried mother with three kids versus a young teacher or a young guard,
everybody deserves a home. And yes, they probably are the same people. Now, what about these people who say, specifically on the issue of using parkland, that should be, they say to me on my screen here, it should be untouchable. They're so precious. They're so important to an urban area. What's your response to that?
My response to that is very simple. I'm surrounded by parks. I live beside Bushy Park. You know, it's very, very necessary. If you took 10% of Bushy Park or Phoenix Park away, people wouldn't even notice. And many days a week do they actually go to a park? Many times you've been in the park over the last 2 years.
I go to parks a lot. Okay. They provide our green space. That's where my children go.
When you're there, do you find a lot of people there?
Of course.
And you wouldn't lose 10%. You would think it wouldn't make any difference. And
you should go to a park yourself. They're generally really, really busy. And I represent the Liberties out to Inchicore. We've built densely and we're building higher now, rightly so. We should be building more densely. But the price of doing business when it comes to increasing density is having good parks, because you don't have back gardens.
Can we look at this, though, from another perspective? I mean, if Pascal is right, it's very, very hard for a teacher, a nurse, a guard to live and work in Dublin. Bottom line.
100%. And that's why you need to build more homes. My point is that the availability of land is not the core obstacle there. We've zoned 50 to 70,000, or enough land for 50 to 70,000 homes. We're not going to build 50 to 70,000 homes in the next year. Why? Because it's not a problem of land, it's a problem of building capacity.
Well, Pascal mentions in his report that the London waiting that you have across the water. So while we're waiting for these homes, should we not at least do something like that?
I think if you want to value frontline workers like guards or nurses, the way you do that is, one, you build lots of homes for everyone, but two, you simply pay them more, because there's going to be some guards.
Well,
there's going to be some
more. That's interesting with the negotiations going on at the moment with the civil servants. That's a fantastic solution. And by the way, good luck to them, because you saw that was terminated last night. Paying people what they're worth. The problem with life is that the success of Ireland has been IT workers, accountants, solicitors, and they're all making hundreds of thousands, 100,000 plus. These people are getting 40,000. You know, and I actually can see the point of the unions. How can they even live on this wages? And you're going to advocating more wages. Great, you'll go down well with the boys up in the top.
Well, I spent 3 years working for the INMO, the Nurses Union. So yeah,
I want to come to that.
Absolutely, but like I think again, the core thing is if you want to value those workers, you pay them more. I think they're underpaid. I think that's pretty clearly accepted that most people would accept, particularly. New entrant nurses and midwives are underpaid. But I think if you start offering kind of perks outside of core pay, you end up with kind of inequalities in it, because there are some people who mightn't have a pressing housing need at the moment, but they wouldn't be able to avail of this. And in effect, you're boosting the salary of some and not others.
So you don't support specific housing for people. We're talking about the nurses, the teachers and the guards.
It could be part of the solution.
Leaving aside the parkland issue.
It could be part of the solution, but I think we saw in COVID how difficult it can be to define what a key worker or a frontline worker is. And it would be difficult to identify things like cutoffs. So, for example, if you're a student who's studying medicine or something like that, you would absolutely qualify for that. If you're a junior doctor, you probably qualify for that. If you get to a point of being a consultant where you're earning six figures, would you still qualify? There's a lot to tease out there. I think you pay people what they're worth and you build a lot of houses for everyone.
I think that's nonsense. Doctors, trainee barristers, trainees, they're not going to be in the system. We're talking about physically qualified, beautiful workers who are now in Australia, in Perth, and they're doing very well there. They can't come back here because there's nothing for them. And like, this is a very simple solution, controversial, that's what you like. But like, you know, I just wanted, you haven't allowed me to tell the listeners what we're offering.
But you want to build on 10% of the
The advantages are very, very clear. There are approximately 4,500 acres of parkland in Dublin. 10% of that is 450 acres. This would produce over time, very quick time, 40,000 two-bedroom, quality, well-located, fully furnished apartments with no security deposit.
It's not service land.
But it's backing onto service land.
The golf courses are serviced. What about the golf courses
is what you're talking about.
No. Sorry.
Would you be in favour of that? Seriously, because I'm not just saying that to be facetious. A lot of people are texting, Pascal, saying, give the golf courses
over. Sure, I'm a member of a golf club. I was captain of a golf club.
With the Kwan, would you be happy with
No, I would not.
Why not?
Why? Because we own it. We've paid for it. You see, the beautiful thing about our thing is...
The people own the parks.
But that's free land. You buy our golf club, it's costing you 100 million. You buy the next 100 million. These are free. Big difference.
You could give part of the golf club over for free to the state.
Not at all. We've no space to play.
All right. Well, so, we're seeing that you are a businessman.
Yeah.
Right? Who likes playing golf?
So anyway, you know, and
I think it would stick in people's craw if they saw. I'm not saying like get rid of all the golf courses or whatever. That's fine.
Are you Sinn Féin?
No. But like, here's the thing: if people are going to take away public space,
Sinn Féin doesn't support this policy either, do they? Yeah, just to be clear,
no, you're taking public space away that everyone enjoys, so that you can preserve golf courses.
I have to leave it there. Thank you both for coming in, Pascal Taggart and Michael Pidgeon. That's not true. I asked you many. We'll take a break.
No, you asked me one of them.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.